creation were people that he never met, but yet he loved them. We will seek to apply that to the blessing and responsibility we have to this body of believers here at Hill Village Bible Church. You know, there's a great blessing of belonging to a local church body. But with that blessing comes a mutual responsibility. And that's what I want to preach about today, that mutual responsibility we have one to another. You know, think about it. If the church is often described as a body, you know, and the body, our body, has many members, what is it like if your body, you know, is missing one of its parts? What is it like to not have a leg? Think how difficult it is. Remember my science teacher in 10th grade. Don't remember his name now, but Mr. T, he had one leg. From the hip down, he had no leg at all, and he would walk around on crutches, and life was difficult. And, you know, think about that. And you know, we are incomplete here. And with people when they're missing and when part of the body is not here. You know, the church, where when one or a few are missing, the whole body suffers. Today I would like to preach again about some of the mutual responsibilities and accountabilities we have one to another as members of this church. Look at verse 7 with me. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, Paul starts out. Paul sends his greeting to the whole church family in Rome. And there was probably more than one church. There were probably a number of house churches. You know, back in this day, they didn't meet in buildings like we meet in. Quite often they met in houses and whatnot. But he says to all that be in Rome. And then he calls them beloved of God. Just think for a minute, friends. Beloved of God. Just think. God loves me. If you are his through the new birth, God loves you. Isn't that a marvelous thought? Isn't that an amazing thought? That God loves me? I know me. My wife knows me. And God still loves me. Of course, we'll get there eventually, but there is a love of God that he displays to sinners, but his child, he loves us. And what a thought that is. God loves me. And what a thought that is to meditate upon, that the God of all the universe loves me. Thank you, Pastor Nate, for that reminder, you know, of just taking a few moments and going before the throne of God. When we pray, we go to God's very throne room. And we have access there because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. But we have access there because we're his children. We're his children. Called to be saints. Once again, the Greek word here for called is kletos, the same that we saw last week in verse 6. And it's an adjective here, which describes the believer. And there will be a time when we, in the book of Romans, when we get into the general and effectual calling of God, but the words here in verse 6 and 7, the word called, are adjectives, and they describe someone who already is saved. And what are we called? We're called saints. And, you know, we don't have to wait to be canonized. We're already saints, okay? I might not look like one. I might not always act like one, but I'm Saint Dan, okay? And you are Saint whoever. We are saints, okay? And we're called to be saints. But what does that word mean? The word literally has the idea of holiness, and it means that we are set apart for God's service. It doesn't mean that we're to be worshipped, that we're to be adored, you know, that we're to be held up with some esteem, but it means that we're set apart for God's service. Remember verse 1? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. We are servants of God. And we're saints now. We don't have to wait until somebody recognizes us as saints. God sees us as saints. And that word saint means to be set apart. Then he says, grace to you. God's unmerited favor. This was a common Greek greeting of the day. Grace to you. And then he says, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he says, shalom to them. This was a common Jewish greeting. So we see already the makeup of the church, both Greek, Gentile, and Jew. Grace and peace. But can I also say, friends, that until you've experienced the grace of God, you will never experience the peace of God. Until you have accepted God's grace in salvation, you will not know the peace of God. Probably have seen some old movies where the outlaw is just about to be hung or executed, and you know, they want to make sure that they've made their peace with God before they die. We can't make peace with God in and of ourselves without the grace of God. God's grace has to be lavished upon us, and it has been in the death of his Son, and by accepting that, we then have peace with God. We then have peace with God. So let's look at our outline today, and verse 7 was kind of just an intro, but first, notice in verses 8 and 9, notice mutual prayer. Now remember, we're talking about each other, and we're talking about one another, and we're talking about our mutual responsibility to each other. There's no such thing as a spiritual Lone Ranger, okay? We're not in this alone. The Lone Ranger had Tonto, at least. He had Silver, and Scout, I think, was Tonto's horse. But, you know, but anyway, we're not in this alone. And many Christians sometimes act like they're in it alone. There should be mutual prayer. Look at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Thank God for others. Do you thank God for your church family here at Hill Village Bible Church? Do you spend time in prayer and thank God for the members of this church? What a blessing it is, friends, to have others on this journey of faith. You know, when we leave these doors and we go to our prospective workplaces, you know, not all of us are blessed to work with other Christians. Some of you are. The Polizzi brothers, they're believers, they work together, but then again, they're brothers, so, you know, there's probably some tension there, you know. But, you know, Nate and Andrew and I, we get to minister and work together, and there's never tension there. But, but seriously, you know, many of you work in a place where there's no Christian. Think what an extra blessing your brothers and sisters are, and meeting with them, what that is. You know, what a blessing it is to have others on this journey of faith. You know, and then Paul goes on, not only to thank God, this mutual prayer, not only should we be thanking God for others, but thank God for their testimonies. Look at the end of verse 8, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. The church at Rome had a testimony, and the whole then known world knew about the church at Rome. You know, the old saying, all roads lead to Rome. Rome was the capital of the world then. And Rome, you know, their testimony was known everywhere. Does it excite you when you hear other people talk about their gospel encounters during our Wednesday night service? Now, that should excite you. Wow. So-and-so had an opportunity to share a gospel, the gospel with somebody. What a testimony. Does it excite you when you hear someone speak about a fellow church member's testimony? Maybe you go somewhere and you're talking to somebody and they say, oh yeah, you know, I met this person, blah, blah, blah. And they go to Hill Village Bible Church and they shared with me that. That should excite you. That should excite you. And friends, Paul was thankful for their worldwide testimony. Are you thankful for our church's testimony? We're because of your faithfulness, friends, more and more people are talking about us. And that's a good thing. And we need to continue to share the gospel and just have a testimony in the community. But notice verse 9, this mutual prayer. Not only did he thank God for others, not only did he thank them for their testimony, but there was continual prayer. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. So he's calling upon God here as a witness. So notice what he says, that without ceasing, I make mention of you in always in my prayer. Paul did not plant this church, but he was thankful for it, and he prayed for them always. Always. How often do you pray for your church family? How often do you pray for your church family? I know many of you pray for your pastors, which we're very thankful for, but have you ever thought to pray for someone in the church? Is it continual? You know, it needs to be. And shame on us if we don't pray one for another. You know what is a good thing to do? Now, I don't know if there's any left in the back, but most of you probably have a church directory. Now, don't only use that church to contact somebody for their address or phone number, but did you ever think of praying through the directory? Maybe dividing it up so that, you know, throughout the week you have an opportunity to pray for everybody in the church. And not just generic prayers, oh Lord, please bless Bill Joseph. Bless Cheryl, you know she needs it living with him, you know. But really pray, you know, really pray. You know, and when we get together and we talk one to another, you know, we talk one to another, we learn about our struggles and whatnot, and pray. There needs to be a mutual prayer one for another. And a great way to do that is just open that directory and pray through it. I want to challenge you to do that. If you don't pray for your church family, start praying. Because friends, prayer changes things. And when you start praying for somebody, God is going to work in their lives. So let's do that. Mutual prayer. We have a responsibility to pray one for another. But the second point, there's mutual fellowship. Mutual fellowship. Being together, verse 10, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now, at this point, Paul had not been to Rome. He would make it to Rome. Not on a voluntary journey, but it was a government paid cruise and road trip that he took there. And but being together, mutual fellowship, being together. Friends, do you desire and long to be together with your church family? Is there a burning desire for you to see each other in church? There should be. You know, do you pray that nothing hinders this? Notice, making requests if by any means now at length that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. Do you pray that nothing hinders this? You know, sometimes things hinder our being together. Sometimes cold weather. I understand that it was a challenge this morning for the Reynolds family to get here because the van quit running. So they live close, so they didn't have to walk, though. They were able to stuff everybody in the car, the other cars, and get here. You know, sometimes things hinder us. Sandy and I, when we were eating breakfast this morning, you know, I remember praying before breakfast, saying, Lord, it's cold. Don't let anything hinder people from coming today. You know, friends, when COVID hit, one of the things that happened was we were able to record messages. Friends, there's nothing worse than preaching to an empty church. A couple folks would come and sit, and, you know, which was a great encouragement. But, you know, I missed the fellowship. I missed seeing you. You probably, hopefully, missed seeing me. But, you know, for those weeks that we were closed, COVID, you know, made us realize how important mutual fellowship is. COVID has caused many people to not have this fellowship. Fear has taken over. We have folks in our church who are struggling with cancer, and that cancer has hindered their fellowship. We have some people in our church struggling with dementia, and that dementia hinders fellowship. And Lord, and friends, these things are challenging for some to be able to come in fellowship. And friends, we need each other. Not only here, but even outside of here. I love to hear, oh, so-and-so is going here, and so-and-so is going there. And, you know, Monday nights, half the church goes to Andrew and Katie's house, you know. And that's a blessing. That's great. A couple of weeks, we're starting the Season Saints Bible study up again. We're not young adults, but we're not old folks, but we're seasoned. So Pastor Nate says, yeah, you're all salty. But anyway, we're seasoned saints. So, you know, that fellowship is needed, friends. This world is no friends of grace. Have you prayed for people to have a prosperous journey to church or fellowship, wherever it is, that nothing would hinder their getting there? Because, friends, the devil doesn't want us together. So, and he's doing everything he can. This week I watched a couple of videos, one from South Africa and the church in South Africa, and another from pastors in Scotland. And South Africa and Scotland, they do not enjoy all of the freedoms that we do, but the pastors are lamenting the fact, lamenting that the government has closed down the churches. And because of that, there are increased problems beside the COVID problems. Suicides, depression, divorces. And people spiritually are dying on the vine. So friends, we must pray for this mutual fellowship, because it's vital to our Christian growth and our Christian experience and our Christian faith. There's a longing to see each other. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. A longing to see each other. Do you yearn to be here with your family? Do you have a longing? Think about a young child when Christmas is coming, and the closer Christmas comes, there's just that yearning, there's that longing. Do you long to be here? You know, we should long to be with each other. And why should we long to be with each other? To edify each other, to build each other up, to encourage each other, to strengthen one another. We have a ministry in this church, one to another. It's not about sitting and soaking. It's about ministering. It's about, in a few moments, we're going to have an opportunity to go downstairs and partake of food. And Pastor Andrew already prayed, but I hope that our conversation is much more than just about Tom Brady, whether you want to see him succeed or fail, you know, because some of you Patriot fans are angry with him and some of you like him. You know, I hope our conversation is much more than that. Hey, what's the Lord doing in your life? How can I pray for you? How's the job going? How's your health? Need any help with anything? I mean, we need each other. There should be that long to build each other up. There's a mutual comfort, verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Friend, the world is no friend to a Christian. And we need the peace and comfort that comes from our being together. Isn't it wonderful that when we close these doors, the world is outside? And here we are together. Strengthen each other. Building each other up. So that we can go back out there in the fight and battle for the Lord. Sandy and I teach the elementary age Sunday school class, and we're going through the book of Nehemiah. And we're learning how Nehemiah had to build, and the children of Israel had to build the wall through a difficult time. And they had lots of enemies that were trying to stop the building. And the people had a sword in one hand and a tool in another hand. You know, we need to come here to be encouraged, because when we go out there, we're building, but we're also fighting a spiritual warfare. And we need each other. And friends, if you do not think you need your church family, you are mistaken. We need each other. We need each other for mutual ministry, for mutual comfort. And verse 13, mutual fruit. Now, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Again, Paul did not plant this church, but he was hoping for mutual fruit. He wanted to minister to them, but he also wanted them to minister to him. Isn't it great that we can minister together? I think it is. That we can help each other along in our journey. That we can help each other bear fruit. Love the way that the church is coming together. And I love the way that the church is uniting around many of the ministries here. And friend, that's a blessing, and that's how it should be. And I hope you love that. And I hope that you don't want anything to hinder that. Therefore, there will be mutual prayer. We will pray one for another. We will have mutual fellowship, but that will lead to mutual ministry. Verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So there's a mutual ministry here to all. Greeks and barbarians. Now, This word today doesn't mean what it meant back then. Greeks and barbarians. Greeks were those who were Greek in culture, and barbarians were those who were not Greek in culture. So you have cultured people and some not so cultured people, okay? And the word barbarians is an interesting word if you study the word out. When the Greeks heard other people speak a foreign language, they said it sounded like this, bar, 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 bar. So barbarians. Doesn't that kind of sound similar to us when we hear somebody say something and we don't really understand? Blah, 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 blah. Okay? So, barbarians, people who were not Greek in culture. So, Paul is ministering to the cultured and the uncultured. Okay? So, we need to do the same. A mutual ministry to all. To the wise and unwise. This was to the learned and the unlearned, the educated, if you will, and the working class. So our ministry needs to be all to all. I think it's wonderful that in our church body, we have doctors, carpenters, architects, auto mechanics, retired people, and mothers and housewives and cleaning business, all kinds of things. There's all kinds of group here. And you know what? I wouldn't call you barbarians or Greeks or wise or unwise, but, we have white collar, blue collar. We have college educated and non-college educated. And we minister one to another, but we do the same thing out there. And we minister to whomever the Lord puts in our path. Preaching to all, verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Preaching the gospel to the lost and teaching the gospel to the saved. Do you have a desire to preach and teach the gospel? If we don't, who will? If we don't take the gospel, who will? And that is what we need to do. I believe with all my heart in the sovereignty of God. But I also believe with all my heart that God desires to use me. He doesn't need me, but he wants to use me. He doesn't need you, but he wants to use you. He desires to use us. And do you have a desire to preach the gospel to those who are lost? Do you have a desire to teach the gospel to those who are saved, helping us to live the gospel and understand more about this wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what Paul is going to do. And next week, we'll look at one verse. We'll look at verse 16, powerful verse about the gospel. But remember, friends, as we seek to apply this, we have been given grace to be able to do this. Look at verse 5. Let's go back and review. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. Why have we received this grace? For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Why have we been given grace? To live an obedient life for his honor and glory in front of all people. Friends, we're his servants. We are commissioned to take the gospel to the world. So let me challenge you with a question, a couple of questions. Do you pray one for another? When you examine your prayer life, in your prayer life, do you pray for everybody in this church? Oh, you may pray for somebody. For probably a lot of us, and most of us, we should be praying, and rightly so, for Rich and Pat right now. We should be. But do you pray for everybody in the church? Open that directory. Divide it up into seven parts and pray. So at least every, and if everybody's doing that, friends, God's going to begin to work in our lives. Shame on us for not praying for one another. Let me ask you another question. Do you desire to fellowship with one another? Do you desire to fellowship with one another? Or when you're on your way here, do you just, you know I need to be here, but I just don't want to talk to anybody. Fellowship. Again, friends, I believe with all my heart, at least my heart, my experience, this was the worst part of when the church was closed, not being able to be with you. That was the worst part. We should look forward to seeing each other in services and even outside this building. Do you desire to minister side by side with your church family? What an opportunity we have in this ministry to minister with each other. There's building projects going on. There's church plant going on. There's multiple ministries going on. There's painting that's going to need to be done. All of this is part. Think of the fellowship you could have with somebody with a paint roller and a gallon of paint. Just think about that. Think about the joy of sitting across the table from a little child and leading them to the Lord as a Sunday school teacher. Think about the joy of sitting across the kitchen table with a cup of coffee and just encouraging each other in the Lord. This fellowship does not have to take place in this building. Get together. Get together. We are a body. We are a family that one should continually pray for each other. We are a body. We are a family that number two should long to fellowship with each other. Just this beginning of this past week, I had the privilege of, I almost said I had the privilege to take my mother-in-law home, but I did. It was great being in the car with her. It was great being with her 5 weeks, but after that, I had the privilege to go down and spend a whole day with Michelle and Noah. It was great. On the way home from there, I had the privilege to stop in and see my father. I haven't seen my father for over a year because of COVID. And it was great. But you know what? I desire to see you folks just as much. And that should be our desire. And we are a body and we are a family that number three should desire to minister together. I don't want to do this alone. I cannot do this alone. And I am glad we're all in this together, where we all can minister to each other, with each other, for each other. How are you doing with these three? How are you doing? How are you doing with praying for each other, with fellowshipping with each other, and with ministering with each other? How are you doing? What changes need to be made so we can be more obedient to these things? Remember, you say, I can't do it. We've been given grace to do this. So to say that you can't do it, you're saying that God's grace is not sufficient. You can't do it. I can't do it. But God can do it. And he's given us grace to be able to do that. Let's pray. Lord,